Hello, and welcome to Teacher Tales, a podcast from the spirit of teaching. This is your host, Linda Markley, and I invite you to join me and my guests as we get curious, explore, discover, and learn more about what is really at the heart of teaching. In each episode, we will hear the story of a teacher, what called them to teach, what are their greatest joys and challenges in teaching, what inspires them, and what are their hopes, dreams, and vision for the education of children. We will learn more about the greatest lessons they have taught and also the greatest lessons they have learned. No checklists, no standards, no reports, no paperwork, and no data. Just stories from their hearts to our hearts on a journey to celebrate what really matters in the true spirit of teaching. So hi, everyone. I'm so glad you're back. Welcome back to Teacher Tales. And I have a extremely special guest today who is a very dear friend and a big heart connection for us. And I can't wait for her to tell her story and for you all to be inspired by it and motivated and supported in every way, because that's what she does. So want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Michelle Ola, and I have worn a lot of hats in my profession that I'm in, so teaching and specifically world languages. I started out as a Spanish teacher by accident later in life. I moved on and found a real passion for supporting teachers and kind of transitioned into a support role at a district office where I got to really see teachers in their classrooms. And then I moved on. I kind of get this maybe 7-year itch every once in a while, and I change professions or I change my path. My path kind of is a windy one. And so I've done virtual school. I've done all levels of Spanish. I've worked in the publishing world for world languages, specifically doing professional learning for the last few years. And now I'm starting a new path again with some consulting and supporting world language and dual language teachers and leaders in another role, a different role. So that's kind of my windy path.
Yeah, well, I love that. You know how I love a good path, especially after the Camino and everything.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I mean, and I think teachers take a lot of different paths, you know, in their careers. And every year is a new year. Every class period is a new class period. And you have to take a different path depending on the kids that are sitting in front of you. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely the theme of pathways and stuff.
Oh, and I love, if anybody knows me or has been to any of my PD or anything, I love a good analogy. Like, to me, that is how you really get people to understand and get a point across. And so we'll stick with that analogy and maybe we'll wind away to another one. Who knows, right?
Well, I'm going to come right back to the starting point because I know that
we were talking about this. Like, where did that path begin? In a very, I think like a lot of teachers, I think it's really funny because we all have these memories of like lining up our dolls and teaching them a lesson of some sort. I was the oldest child. And so like I bullied and made my brothers and sisters sit down and, you know, tried to teach them things. And I kind of feel like one of my life lessons I've learned is sometimes you just need to stick with your original idea. So in second grade, when I decided to be a teacher, I probably should have just stuck on that path because then things happened and went in the way. But I've always loved, you know, that sort of idea of being a teacher. And so when I graduated, small town in Minnesota, I was going to be a teacher. And so I went to my first year of college. I went to my first education class and pretty much they scared the bejesus out of me. And I'm like, nope, never mind. Peace out. And I left and I did not follow that path at that period of time. It was, I think it was like a scared straight program or something like, can you handle this? And I'm like, nope, sorry, I guess I can't. And so I went on a different, like I thought I was going to be somewhere else. And my majors in college were international studies with a concentration in the Soviet Union. which proceeded to then break up as I was graduating, you know, anthropology and Spanish. I'd always loved Spanish. I have lots of stories about, you know, learning Spanish in a small town in Minnesota. And I've always loved that. And so I went on a different path. I graduated from college and, you know, sometime life happens to us. And long story short, I opened a coffee house in Duluth, Minnesota, and I did that for 10 years. And then I'm like, you know what? Teaching kind of just kept tugging me back. And I was just kind of called at a much later period of time. So this was my second career to be a teacher. And so I went back to school. I ran the coffee shop. Steve quit his job and helped me run it. Well, I went to school and I graduated with a teaching Spanish K-12 degree in Minnesota. Not a lot of Spanish teaching jobs in Minnesota. So I went to a job fair in Minneapolis, and that was when there was this big boom in Florida. And so they hired me I had only been to Florida like once on vacation. I came to Florida and started teaching. That started my career path as a teacher and a supporter of teachers.
I think that's a great path, and I love your story and I think there are a lot of teachers out there that will relate to it, because there are a lot of teachers that's their second career, and they just feel this calling. It's tugging at them, and it's, you know, kind of luring them into the classroom to, you know, be an influence on young people, a good one, positive one, and to kind of be leaders for the kids and role models and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. And I think when I first started my first teaching job, I was a brand new teacher with another brand new teacher. So we got to be like brand new together. Thank goodness we had each other in so many ways. But she was right out of college and I was obviously not. And so it was a different dynamic. There were great things that she brought to our experience, right? And we'd both finish teaching Spanish program. But again, like just experience, me being from Minnesota, her being a born in Florida girl. And I think everybody brings something, and it's never too late to bring whatever that experience and is, to that classroom and to students. And even though I'm not in the classroom anymore, that was a foundational, important part of my life and setting me on kind of a different path, but a sideways path.
Yeah. I mean, and the whole thing about different people have different strengths and everything, I think now that we can transition into talking about PD for teachers, which you really have a lot of great insights and experience with, because one size doesn't fit all, and teachers don't need a prescription. Teachers need to, just like with anything in life, need to be allowed to and have the freedom and choice to play to their strengths. And, you know, we're on a board organization together that's trying to develop some leaders. And we had a really great conversation about that with the other people, about strengths and play to your strengths and bring forth your strengths. You know, I mean, you get into the spiritual world and they'll call it like your inner light. And what are you going to shine on to the world so that everyone else can be enlightened? And that's kind of teaching in a nutshell. You know, you're just enlightening other people, and everybody's got a strength, and all the kids have strengths, and we have to discover their strengths. So
I could talk about strengths the whole rest of this time. That's something I really love. So quite a while ago now, I was part of a leadership program and for world language leaders. And one of the things I was introduced to was like the Gallup Clifton strengths finders. And I think that was the first time where I felt truly empowered and
me too.
Really, right? Like really saying like there is no bad strengths. Because I think there are tendencies for people to say, well, you should be a type A personality. You should do this. You should be this way. You should be this way. In order to be a teacher, you have to be this way. You know, you have to be like woo and crazy for the kids. Others are like, no, you need, you know, there's like so much sort of, I don't know, a little bit of judgment on what really are people's strengths. And so knowing my strengths And then being able to, once I knew mine and I could identify mine and really double down on mine, like I can tell you my strengths, you know, and I work with them. That is when I get in the flow. That's when I learn. That's when I support. That's when I'm, you know, really, really doing things. But more than that, more than me knowing mine, now I could see strengths in others. And I could see where somebody that's very different than me and their strength is something entirely different in the classroom, right? Or wherever it might be, I could actually look at somebody that is fundamentally the opposite of me and say, "Ooh, I need that person on my team," because that is a complementary thing. Because I am strong in this area, they are strong in this area. Wow, we are going to be such an amazing team. And I think as far as teachers go, sometimes we tend to stick to all the same type of people. Like we want to stick with people like us, and I think that's a problem sometimes, you know, because then we get this tunnel vision and we kind of stop growing in unique and painful ways.
Or we isolate in our
Yeah.
classroom, and they're like, we're like, no, I'm not gonna go outside of my classroom or share things or let other
Yeah.
people see who I am because they're going to judge me.
Yeah.
And the whole thing of team building and stuff, I've been in so much PD about team building, and you know, some of it is just doesn't work, and it's not really team building.
No,
And
it's
I
not.
agree. StrengthsFinder was an eye opener for me too, because I was like, oh yeah, these are my strengths, you know. And for some people, my strength can be annoying, like I'll tell you, making connections. So I make
Yeah.
connections to everything, you know, and some people are like, oh my God, stop with the, you know, like stop with the
Yeah.
analogies and the metaphors and stuff like that, or making connections to things. And then other people it served really well, like on
Yeah.
boards and, you know,
Oh
stuff
no, for
like
sure. And
that.
I think that's the thing that I think is so powerful is when it becomes not just a personal growth, but a team and an organization growth even. And so like I worked for a company, our team, we had a small team. We did you know, some strength finders, and just knowing that my friend Terry, who I love dearly, her strength is context. So where some and I my big picture strategic, like I'm like, let's look way up here. And she's like, no, I need to understand these, like where this fits into the scheme. And like me understanding that about her helped me slow down. It helped me think things through better. Once we weren't like not annoyed, I was never annoyed with her, but once we got over like our differences in how we worked and how we did, we became a much stronger team. And I think teachers, department chairs, districts, you know, all of these people, that's what real team building is, right? Like knowing what our strengths are, knowing where we can use those the best to sort, you know, support each other and to support students.
It just comes down to humanity. I mean, you're talking about, you know, this person you worked with. You could take that same explanation and scenario and apply it to a relationship with a spouse or with a
Yeah.
child. And I think what we, especially in the age of computers now, we've gotten to very much having checklists or letting other people and things like AI decide, you know, for us. And the personalization's been taken out of it. And the connections, again, I'm looking at connections with people and building a team based on those strengths. Instead, we go to a checklist and say, you know, well, everybody's got to do this, 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 and this. And I know that that is a big part of your services that you offer now. And
Yeah.
working with teachers and districts and stuff is bringing out that human element. And that I see you, I hear you, it's okay. You don't have to follow a script. You
Yeah,
know, there are different pathways.
absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And I think not only are there different pathways, but everybody is at a different place on that path, right? Whether, and it doesn't matter if they're students in a classroom, they're adults on your team, they're people in your family, everybody is on some sort of path. And to me, really, when I worked at the district office and I got to work with these amazing teachers really closely, like one-to-one coaching and just being there, like really in the trenches with them. And at first, man, I was not good. I was not good at it because I'm like, oh, I see all these things that that we should get that we should work together for you to get better, right? For you to do better. Like, let's go down that checklist. Like, target language. Let's like get you up here. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do that. And I fire hosed PD at them, essentially. That's how I called. I just opened this big fire hose and just spewed all the stuff that I forgot to, let's be honest. Like, if you have been in a profession as well, you're working with teachers, or even if you've been in the students for a while, you forget how long it took you to get where you're at, right? It took you years and
Yes.
books and trial and lots of errors and all of these things. And then you expect a 1 hour or 1 day PD to transform teachers. No, that's just not how it works. And I think once I realized, yeah, that's not how it works at all, like you need to find where that teacher is on that path. You need to meet them where they're at and not try and bullet them to the end of where you think their path ends, right? Because that doesn't matter, but just help them move farther along that path in the areas that they are ready to be, to be kind of, helped along or supported. I don't even think helped along is the right word, but.
And I think teachers that realize that you have to meet kids where they are really the great teachers that are making a difference. Instead of saying, I need to, okay, what's the lesson on page 12? I'm going to do that lesson today, and not really understanding what that means, or the context, or the implications, or like you said, the bigger picture, which is like backward design. We put all these buzzwords on things now, and teachers are like, I don't understand that. And the same thing happened to me when I went to the district, and I had a reality check when, and I spent a lot of time with our for planning our first PD and everything. And I had a teacher friend come up to me afterwards and say, she was Hispanic. She's like, Linda. And I was like, yes, I knew it was coming. She's like, she used that analogy of a path. And she's like, there are some of us that are like right there with you and we get it. But there are others that are falling in the ditch. And there are others that are so far behind you can't even see them on the path. She used that same analogy. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, we don't have the experience, we don't have the lessons that you have had to teach us these things, and it's going to take a while for us to catch up. And she said, and some of us are willing and some of us are not. And I was
And
like, that's been in a
absolutely.
nutshell.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the other thing. I mean, sometimes I think as a professional learning specialist, or if you're any sort of leadership position where you're trying to support teachers, and yes, the end goal is we want effective instruction for the end goal of the learner, the students. Like, we can't forget that there's a reason why we want to, promote and support high leverage teaching, because we know that research shows that's what's going to get multilingual, culturally competent students, citizens eventually. But we also just get caught in our own ideas of when that should happen, how that should happen, and why that should happen. And we all know as people that doesn't work. Like, we know that, and we know like we're and we know that that doesn't work with students. Everybody's in a different place. Sit and get for an hour talking at somebody, it never has changed practice, I don't think. I mean, I'm pretty feel pretty strongly about that. Like, that's not what motivates or creates the si circumstances, right, that are going to transform teaching and learning. But yet it just is prevalent, right? Like, that is just still, like, if I could go on a campaign and never do 1 day sit and get sort of PD, I would eliminate it. Like, I would just zap. If I had my magic wand, I'd also eliminate the word cover, like covering content. Like, that is another word I would get rid of, because that's what, and it's because it's all based in compliance, and it's all based in, somebody trying to force somebody else to be where they think they should be. And
Or curriculum in the textbook industry, the book is not the curriculum. I'm sorry, it is not.
It is not. It
And
is not.
yeah, it
But it's a
sounds.
lot. It's a lot to, I think about new teachers coming in, and I think also our field is at a new place that it hasn't been before. We've got so many new teachers coming in with not the same maybe experiences that some that traditionally have been had. So a lot of time I went through a teacher education program. The teachers that I worked with, many did not, you know, so many of them had a love of the language, had experience with that, and a huge desire to be a teacher, but they didn't necessarily have curriculum writing skills, lesson planning skills, classroom management. Like there's so many things to being a teacher. And I think for me, my goal is to, like, it's just too much. Like we just force too much and on our schedules, right? And so I'm trying to work with schools and districts and leaders to intentionally make small shifts in various ways in order to train you know, transform things little by little. Because I think asking teachers to do it all immediately is both not realistic and also just they've got a lot of other things that are going on that are very important. They're standing in front of, you know, students every day, you know, and doing their magic. So like adding additional pressure and timelines and preconceived ideas of what has to happen and when it has to happen, I think is just not sustainable for teachers.
It's not, and I think we need to also be a little bit of a cheerleader and say, like you're not going to get it all perfect, and you're not, and it's okay. And maybe ask the instead of the district or the person coming in, the evaluator with a clipboard and then telling you what you didn't do right at the end, ask them, what do you think went really well? How do you feel about that? What do you think the results were? That whole delta plus, a plus delta plus what went well, and then what would you change? And how would you change it? I mean, the whole national board, for teaching is like that. And but we talk about those things. I don't know how you feel about it, but we talk about a lot of these things, and there's always this new movement, the new jargon, the new research, and new, like tide, new and improved. But I don't
That's
know.
funny. I
Sometimes
see. I feel like we've been saying the same thing for, I feel like personally, I've been saying the same thing for 25 years, and it's not terribly new. It might have a new spin, but it's the same message. And now I feel like at some point, what I liked what you said earlier is that like experience also plays a difference. Like our experiences, not necessarily age, but also just like the experiences that you have, also just life. And so you may not be ready to hear a message and to transform this particular thing when it's presented to you. That doesn't mean you're never going to change it. You're never going to kind of try something new. You know, our lives have seasons, our teaching has seasons, our, you know, different things are happening at different times. And so I think instead of getting frustrated because people are not on our own time levels, we, you know, work with teachers to figure out what they can handle now, what they want to do, what empower them to, you know, make, you know, explore the things that they want to explore and get better at, and, you know.
I learned from somebody who's been a mentor to me, Brian Johnson, and he said, you need to always go for the win. And win stands for what's important now. Go for the win. That's what you have to do, is just go for what's important now. And if you can do that and you can handle it, then move on to the next thing and then the next thing. But especially new teachers can get overwhelmed and think
It's a
that they're
lot.
supposed to do everything. Well, I've always used you like good metaphors and analogies and stuff. I say teaching is like, spinning 100 plates, while trying to jump through a fiery hoop with a lion with its mouth open at the end. That's what it feels like. Laura, my daughter, said after her first day of teaching, she's like, oh my God, I felt like I was a firefighter. I'd put out a fire over here, and then I go, another one would pop up. I'd go put that one out. And then the first one had started,
Smoldering
flaming
again.
again.
Right? No, it's that's so true. I remember distinctly, like, and this was a while ago, but I remember when probably it was maybe even 3 years into teaching, and I thought to myself, Oh, hey, I've already had this problem once. Like, I know what to do, but it was a long time before I got to that point, right? I mean, there's a lot of learning and a lot of things that happen. And I'm like, I remember being so proud that I came to a problem that I actually had encountered before. And how I felt like, yeah, I got this. This is all right. You know, I don't remember what the problem is, but it's a lot. When I'm working with, now that I've started my kind of consulting, I've had time to really like think about how I want to approach things and how I want to do it, because I'm doing it for myself. And I kind of, as I was thinking, like, oh, what are all the things, all those components that make up, our ability to help our learners become multilingual, culturally competent citizens, right? Like, what is all this stuff? And I'm like, it takes a shift in mindset to a proficiency-based mindset. It takes curriculum, high quality curriculum and resources, right? It takes high leverage teaching practices. It takes assessment practices and grading and feedback. Each one of those alone is massive and is broken down into 50 things probably that encompass every one of those sections, right? And it's just, if I'm overwhelmed as a professional learning provider, I can't imagine how new teachers feel, right? Like how, or any teacher feels, right? When they are presented with like, especially if they're trying to make a transition from maybe a traditional sort of legacy approach to teaching and learning languages, to a different method. It's a lot. And I think we forget sometimes how much it is and how those baby steps, those small shifts, those little things add up.
They
But
do.
let's try not to bury the teachers under all the stuff,
And
and
supporting each other. We talked earlier about team
yeah.
building and stuff. We've got to support each other. We can't keep, throwing each other under the bus or isolating and not caring about our colleagues in our school. None of this mean girl stuff anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I have witnessed a lot of that. And I understand teachers are under a lot of pressure. People can act out of character a little bit, but I think we just have to tap into our humanity. It's not about a textbook, the curriculum, a
Yeah.
test at the end. I know we're being measured and evaluated on that, and it seems like judgment, but we have to back to the strengths finder, know who we
Yeah.
are, know what we can do, and bring that to the table every day for the kids and for ourselves. So,
Yeah.
and
And
that's enough.
your point about connection, I think my opinion or my thoughts have changed in some way. I think there's always been this thing with collaboration as opposed to like collegiality, right? Like, so being, friends or being close for, like, oh, if you can collaborate together, but I don't know that you can effectively collaborate together unless you have some sort of connection, some human connection to the people that are with you. And I think my biggest leaps in my both professional and personal growth have happened because of people connecting to another human being where I could feel like, you know what? I'm going to try this and it might totally not work, but I know that I can then tell this other person about it and we can figure it out, or support each other, or just complain that like, what did we do? Whatever it might be. But I think that we have to go past just collaboration too, and I think we've lost a lot of those connections. I feel like I know I have.
Community. It's
Yeah.
about community, building a community. It
Yeah.
doesn't have to be the whole school, doesn't have to be even the people in your
Agreed.
department. It could go outside of the school, like what we've done
Yeah.
with different organizations and, different educational opportunities and stuff. So making
Yeah.
the connections and building a community of people that will help each other and
I still
everything.
say that's the best form of professional development. When you get those PFF, professional friends forever, right? Like you find those people, or that person, that's going to help you stretch and grow and learn and
Well,
create.
Michelle, you are just a wealth of information, and I think that your services to districts and schools and stuff is invaluable. I'm going to put all of the information about your
Thank you.
website and your business and about you in the notes for the podcast so everyone can check those out and reach out to her. She's just a
Yeah,
delightful, lovely
I love
person that's a
connection.
treasure.
I loved connecting with people, you know, so absolutely. I love meeting new people to connect with. So thank you so much, Linda, for this opportunity to chat.
Oh, it was wonderful. Always, always a pleasure.
Hello again, everyone. This is your host, Linda Markley, and I'd like to invite you to nominate a teacher to be a guest on the podcast and to share their story. All you have to do is go to www.spiritofteaching.org and fill out the nomination form. Again, that's www.spiritofteaching.org. Also, please share, rate, and give some feedback to help us better serve you in the spirit of teaching. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to having you back next time on Teacher Tales.